Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We are on day number 51 of our Bible in 90 days, where we're live every single day at 2 o'clock reading the Bible. You guessed it, in 90 days. We're using the YouVersion/Life Church Bible app. So load up in the chat. Thank you guys for being here. We are in the book of Isaiah. We're going to do, I think, Isaiah 14 to 28. I have it highlighted, something like that. But yes, book of Isaiah. Thank you for being here again, engaging. I'm going to try not to be distracted, but here we go. We're reading Book of Isaiah, chapter 14, a taunt for Babylon's king. But the Lord will have mercy on the descendants of Jacob. He will choose Israel as a special people once again. He'll bring them back to settle once again on their land, and people from many different nations will come and join them and unite with the people of Israel. The nations of the world will help the people of Israel to return, and those who come to live in the Lord's land will serve them. Those who captured Israel will themselves be captured, and Israel will rule over its enemies. In that wonderful day when the Lord gives his people rest from the sorrow and fear, from slavery and chains, you'll taunt the king of Babylon. You'll say, "That mighty man has been destroyed. Yes, your insolence is ended. For the Lord has crushed your wicked power and broken your evil rule. You struck the people with endless blows of rage and held the nations in angry grip with unrelenting tyranny. But finally, the earth is at rest and quiet. Now it can sing again. Even the trees of the forest, the cypress trees and the cedars of Lebanon, sing out his joyous song. Since you've been cut down, no one will come to cut us down. In the place of the dead, there is excitement over your arrival. The spirits of the world leaders and mighty kings long dead stand up to see you. With one voice, they all cry out, 'Now we're as weak as we are. Now you are as weak as we are. Your might and power were buried with you. The sound of harp in your palace has ceased, and now maggots are your sheet and worms your blanket.'" Ugh. "How you have fallen from heaven, O shining star." This is talking about Lucifer, son of the morning. "You've been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, 'I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I'll preside on the mountain of the gods far away to the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High.' Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to the lowest depths. Everyone there will stare at you and ask, 'Can this be the one who shook the earth and made the kingdoms of the world tremble? Is this the one who destroyed the world and made it into a wasteland? Is this the king that demolished the world's greatest cities and had no mercy on its prisoners? The kings of the nations will lie in stately glory, each in his own tomb. But you'll be thrown out of your grave like a worthless branch, like a corpse trampled underfoot. You'll be dumped into a mass grave with those killed in battle. You'll descend to the pit. You'll not be given a proper burial, for you've destroyed your nation and slaughtered your people. The descendants of such an evil person will never again receive honor. Kill this man's children. Let them die because of their father's sin. They must not rise and conquer the earth, filling the world with their cities. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. I myself have risen against Babylon. I destroyed its children and its children's children, says the Lord. I will make Babylon a desolate place of owls, filled with swamps and marshes. I will sweep the land of the broom of destruction. I, the Lord of Heaven's armies, have spoken. The Lord of Heaven's armies has sworn this oath. It'll happen as I planned, and it'll be as I've decided. I'll break the Assyrians when they're in Israel. I'll trample them on my mountains. My people will no longer be their slaves, nor bow down under their heavy loads. I have a plan for the whole earth, a hand of judgment upon all the nations. The Lord of Heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change his plans? When his hand is raised, who can stop him? This message came to me the year King Ahaz died. Do not rejoice, you Philistines, that the rod struck you is broken, that the king attacked you is dead. For from that snake, a more poisonous snake will be born, a fiery serpent to destroy you. I will feed the poor in my pasture. The needy will lie down in peace. But as for you, I will wipe you out with famine and destroy the few who remain. Wail at the gates. Weep in the cities. Melt with fear, you Philistines. A powerful army comes like smoke from the north. Each soldier rushes eager to fight. What should we tell the Philistine messengers? Tell them, the Lord has built Jerusalem. Its walls give refuge to oppressed people. Chapter 15, a message about Moab. This message came to me concerning Moab. In one night, the town of Ar will be leveled, and the city of Kir will be destroyed. Your people will go to their temple in Dibon to mourn. They'll go to their sacred shrines to weep. They'll wail for the fate of Nebo and Medeba, shaving their heads in sorrow and cutting off their beards. They'll wear burlap as they wander the streets. From every home and public square will come the sound of wailing. The people of Heshbon and Elealeh will cry out. Their voices will be heard as far as Jahaz. The bravest warriors of Moab will cry out in utter terror. They will be helpless with fear. My heart weeps for Moab. Its people flee to Zoar and Eglath. I don't know how to say that. weeping. They climb the road of Luhith. Their cities of distress, cries of distress can be heard along the road to Horonim. Even the waters of Nimri are dried up. The grassy banks are scorched. The tender plants are gone. Nothing green remains. The people grab their possessions and carry them across the ravine of willows. A cry of distress echoes through the land of Moab from one end to the other, from Eglim to Beer Elim. The stream near Dibon runs red with blood. But I'm still not finished with Dibon. Lions will hunt down the survivors, both those who try to escape and those who remain behind. Chapter 16. Send lambs from Selah as a tribute to the ruler of the land. Send them through the desert and the mountains of beautiful Zion. The women of Moab are left like homeless birds at the shallow crossings at the Arnon River. Help us, they cry. Defend us against our enemies. Protect us from their relentless attacks. Do not betray us now that we've escaped. Let our refugees come home. Hide them from our enemies until the terror is past. When oppression and destruction have ended and the enemy raiders have disappeared, then God will establish one of David's descendants as king. He'll rule with mercy and truth. He'll always do what is right and be eager to do what is right. We have heard about proud Moab, about its pride and arrogance and rage. But all that boasting has disappeared. The entire land of Moab weeps. Yes, everyone in Moab mourns for the cakes of raisins from Kir Hereseth. They're all gone now. The farms of Heshbon are abandoned. The vineyards at Sibma are deserted. The rulers of the nations have broken down Moab, that beautiful grapevine. Its tendrils spread north as the town of Jazer and trailed eastward into the wilderness. Its shoots reached so far west that they crossed over the Dead Sea. For now I weep for Jazer and the vineyards of Sibma. My tears will flow for Heshbon and Elealeh. There are no more shouts of joy over your summer fruits and harvest. Gone now is the gladness, gone the joy of harvest. There'll be no more singing in the vineyards, no more happy shouts, nor treading of grapes in the wine presses. I've ended all their harvest joys. My heart cries for Moab is like a lament on a harp. I'm filled with anguish for Kir Hereseth. The people of Moab will worship at their pagan shrines, but it will do them no good. They'll cry at the gods in their temples, but no one will be able to save them. The Lord has already said these things about Moab in the past. But now the Lord says, within 3 years, counting each day, the glory of Moab will be ended. From its great population, only a few will still be alive. 17. A message about Damascus and Israel. This message came to me concerning Damascus. Look, the city of Damascus will disappear. It'll become a heap of ruins. The towns of Aroer will be deserted. Flocks will gaze in the streets and lie down undisturbed, with no one to chase them away. The fortified towns of Israel will also be destroyed, and the royal power of Damascus will end. All that remains of Syria will share the fate of Israel's departed glory, declares the Lord of Heaven's armies. In that day, Israel's glory will grow dim. Its robust body will waste away. The whole land will look like a grain field after the harvesters have gathered the grain. It'll be desolate like the fields in the valley of Rephaim after the harvest. Only a few of its people will be left alive, like stray olives left on a tree after the harvest. Only two or three remain in the highest branches, four or five scattered here and here on the limbs, declares the Lord, the God of Israel. Then at last the people will look at their creator and turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will no longer look to their idols for help or worship what their own hands have made. They will never again bow down to their Asherah poles or worship the pagan shrines they have built. Their largest cities will be like a deserted forest, like the land of the Hivites and Amorites abandoned when the Israelites came here so long ago. It'll be utterly desolate. Why? Because you've turned from God. Who can save you? You've forgotten the rock who can hide you. So you may plant the finest grapevines and import the most expensive seedlings, and they may sprout on the day you set them out. Yes, they may blossom on the very morning you plant them, but you'll never pick any grapes from them. Your only harvest will be a load of grief and unrelieved pain. Listen, the armies of many nations roar like the roaring of the sea. Hear the thunder of the mighty forces as they rush towards like thundering waves. But though they thunder like breakers on a beach, God will silence them and will throw them away. They will run away. Oops. They will flee like chaff scattered by the wind, like a tumbleweed whirling before a storm. In the evening, Israel waits in terror, but by dawn, its enemies are dead. This is the just reward of those who plunder us, a fitting end for those who destroy us. Chapter 18, a message about Ethiopia. Listen, Ethiopia, land of fluttering sails, that lies at the headwaves, waters of the Nile, that sends ambassadors in swift boats down the river. Go, swift messengers, take a message to tell a smooth-skinned people who are feared far and wide for their conquest and destruction, whose land is divided by rivers. All you people of the world, everyone who lives on earth, when I rise my battle flag on the mountains, look. When I blow the ram's horn, listen. For the Lord has told me this. I will watch quietly from my dwelling place, as quietly as the heat rises on a summer day or as morning dew forms during the harvest. Even before you begin your attack, while your plans are ripening like grapes, the Lord will cut your new growth with pruning shears. He'll snip off and disregard your spreading branches. Your mighty arm will be left dead in the fields and the mountain vultures and wild animals. The vultures will tear at the corpses all summer, and the wild animals will gnaw the bones all winter. At that time, the Lord of Heaven's armies will receive gifts from this land divided by rivers, from this tall, smooth-skinned people who are feared far and wide for their conquest and destruction. They will bring the gifts of Jerusalem where the Lord of Heaven's armies dwells. Chapter 19, a message about Egypt. This is the prophet Isaiah, obviously, speaking messages to different places. The message to me concerning Egypt. Look, the Lord is advancing against Egypt, riding on a swift cloud. The idols of Egypt tremble. The hearts of the Egyptians melt with fear. I will make Egyptian fight against Egyptian, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city, province against province. The Egyptians will lose heart, and I'll confuse their plans. They will plead with their idols for wisdom and call in spirits, mediums, and those who consult the spirits of the dead. I will hand Egypt over to a hard, cruel master. A fierce king will rule them, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. The waters of the Nile will fail to rise and flood the fields. The riverbed will be parched and dry. The canals of the Nile will dry up, and the streams of Egypt will stink with rotting reeds and rushes. All the greenery along the riverbank and all the crops along the river will dry up and blow away. The fishermen will lament for lack of work. Those who cast hooks into the Nile will groan, and those who use nets will lose heart. There will be no flax for the harvesters, no thread for the weavers. They will be in despair, and all the workers will be sick at heart. What fools are the officials of Zoan? Their best counsel to the king of Egypt is stupid and wrong. Will they still boast to Pharaoh of their wisdom? Will they dare brag about all their wise ancestors? Where are your wise counselors, Pharaoh? Let them tell you what God plans. The Lord of Heaven's armies is going to do to Egypt what the Lord will do to Egypt. The officials of Zoan are fools, and the officials of Memphis are deluded. The leaders of the people have led Egypt astray. The Lord has sent a spirit of foolishness on them, though all their suggestions are wrong. They cause Egypt to stagger like a drunk in his vomit. There's nothing Egypt can do. All are helpless, the head and the tail, the noble palm branch, and the lowly reed. In that day, the Egyptians will be as weak as women. They will cower in fear beneath the upraised fist of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Just to speak the name of Israel will terrorize them, for the Lord of Heaven's armies has laid his plans against them. In that day, five of Egypt's cities will follow the Lord of Heaven's armies. They'll even begin to speak Hebrew, the language of Canaan. One of these cities will be Heliopolis, the city of the sun. In that day, there'll be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and there'll be a monument to the Lord at his borders. It'll be a sign and witness to the Lord of Heaven's armies is worshipped in the land of Egypt. When the people cry to the Lord for help against those who oppress them, he will send them a savior who will rescue them. The Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. Yes, they will know the Lord and will give their sacrifices and offerings to him. They'll make a vow to the Lord and he will keep it. The Lord will strike Egypt and then he will bring healing. For the Egyptians will turn to the Lord and he'll listen to their pleas and heal them. In that day, Egypt and Assyria will be connected by a highway. The Egyptians and Assyrians will move freely between their lands and they'll both worship God. In that day, Israel will be the third along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth. For the Lord of Heaven's armies will say, blessed be Egypt, my people. Blessed be Assyria, the land I've made. Blessed be Israel, my special possession. All right. Chapter 20, a message about Egypt and Ethiopia. In the year when King Sargon of Assyria sent his commander-in-chief to capture the Philistine city of Ashdod, so the Lord told Isaiah, son of Amoz, take off the burlap you've been wearing and remove your sandals. Isaiah did as he was told and walked around naked and barefoot. All right. Then the Lord said, my servant Isaiah has been walking around naked and barefoot for the last 3 years. This is a sign, a symbol of the terrible troubles I bring upon Egypt and Ethiopia. The king of Assyria will take away the Egyptians and Ethiopians as prisoners. He'll make them walk naked and barefoot, both young and old, their buttocks bared to the shame of Egypt. Then the Philistines will be thrown into panic, for they are counted on the power of Ethiopia and boasted of their allies in Egypt. They will say, if this can happen to Egypt, what chance do we have? We were counting on Egypt to protect us from King of Assyria. Chapter 21, a message about Babylon. This message came to me concerning Babylon, the desert by the sea. Disaster is roaring down on you from the desert like a whirlwind sweeping from the Negev. I see a terrifying vision. I see the betrayer betraying, the destroyer destroying. Go ahead, you Elamites and Medes, attack and lay siege. I'll make an end to all the groaning Babylon caused. My stomach aches and burns with pain. Sharp pangs of anguish are upon me like those of a woman in labor. I grow faint when I hear what God is planning. I'm afraid to look. My mind reels. My heart races. I long for evening to come, but now I'm terrified of the dark. Look, they're preparing a great feast. They're spreading rugs for people to sit on. Everyone is eating and drinking, but quick, grab your shields and prepare for battle. You're being attacked. Meanwhile, the Lord said to me, put a watchman on the city wall. Let him shout about what he sees. He should look for chariots drawn by pairs of horses and for riders of donkeys and camels. Let the watchman be fully alert. Then the watchman called out, Day after day, I've stood on the watchtower, my lord. Night after night, I've remained at my post. Now at last, look. Here comes a man in a chariot with a pair of horses. Then the watchman said, Babylon is fallen, fallen. All the idols of Babylon lie broken on the ground. Oh, my people, threshed and winnowed. I've told you everything the Lord of Heaven's armies has said, everything the God of Israel has told me. This message came to me concerning Edom. Someone from Edom keeps calling to me, Watchman, how much longer until morning? When will the night be over? The watchman replies, Morning is coming, but night will soon return. If you wish to ask again, then come back and ask. This message came to me concerning Arabia. O caravans from Dedan, hide in the deserts of Arabia. O people of Tema, bring water to the thirsty people, of food to those weary refugees. They have fled from the sword, from the drawn sword, from the bent bow, and the terrors of battle. Then the Lord said to me, Within a year, counting each day, all of the glory of Kedar will come to an end. Only a few of its courageous archers will survive. I, the Lord, the God of Israel, have spoken. Chapter 22, a message about Jerusalem. This message came to me concerning Jerusalem, the Valley of Vision. What is happening? Why is everyone running to the rooftops? The whole city is in a terrible uproar. Why do I see this reveling city? Bodies are lying everywhere, killed not in battle, but by famine and disease. All your leaders have fled. They surrounded without resistance. The people tried to slip away, but they were captured too. That's why I said, leave me alone to weep. Do not try to comfort me. Let me cry for my people as I watch them being destroyed. Oh, what a day of crushing defeat. What a day of confusion and terror brought by the Lord of Heaven's armies, upon the Valley of Vision. The walls of Jerusalem have been broken. The cries of death echo from the mountainsides. Elamites are the archers with their chariots and charioteers. The men of Kerr hold up shields. Chariots fill your beautiful alleys, and charioteers storm your gates. Judah's defenses have been stripped away. You run to the armory for your weapons. You inspect the breaks in the walls of Jerusalem. You store up water in the lower pool. You survey the houses and tear some down, for stone to strengthen the walls. Between the city walls, you build a reservoir for water from the old pool, but you never ask for help from the one who did all this. You never considered the one who planned this long ago. At that time, the Lord of Heaven's armies, called you to weep and mourn. He told you to shave your head in sorrow for your sins, but instead you dance and play. You slaughter cattle and kill sheep. You feast on meat and drink wine. You say, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. The Lord of Heaven's armies has revealed this to me. Till the day you die, you'll never be forgiven for this sin. That is the judgment of the Lord of Heaven's armies. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies said to me. Confront Shebna, the palace administrator, and give him this message. Who do you think you are, and what are you doing here? Building a beautiful tomb for yourself, a monument high up in the rock? For the Lord is about to hurl you away, mighty man. He's going to grab you, crumple you into a ball, and toss you away into a distant barren land. There you will die, and your glorious chariots will be broken and useless. You are a disgrace to your master. Yes, I will drive you out of office, says the Lord. I will pull you down from your high position, and I will call my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, to replace you. I will dress him in your royal robes and give him your title and your authority, and he'll be a father to the people of Jerusalem and Judah. I'll give him the key to the house of David, the highest position in the royal court. When he opens the door, no one will be able to close them. When he closes the door, no one will be able to open them. He'll bring honor to his family name, for I will drive him firmly in a place like a nail in the wall. They will give him great responsibility, and he'll bring honor to even the lowliest members of his family. But the Lord of Heaven's armies also says, the time will come when I'll pull out the nail that seems so firm. It'll come out and fall to the ground, and everything that supports it will fall with it. I, the Lord, have spoken. Chapter 23, a message about Tyre. This message came to me concerning Tyre. Wail, you trading ships of Tarshish, for the harbor and the houses of Tyre are gone. The rumors you heard in Cyprus are all true. Mourn in silence, you people of the coast and you merchants of Sidon. Your traders crossed the sea, sailing over deep waters. They brought you grain from Egypt and harvest from among the Nile. You are the marketplace of the world, but now you're put to shame, city of Sidon. For Tyre, the fortress of the sea, says, now I'm childless. I have no sons and daughters. When Egypt hears the news about Tyre, there'll be great sorrow. Send word now to Tarshish. Wail, you people who live in distant lands. Is this silent ruin all that's left for your once joyous city? What a long history was yours. Think of all the colonists you sent to distant lands. Who has brought this disaster on Tyre, this great creator of the kingdoms? Her traders were all princes. Her merchants were nobles. The Lord of Heaven's armies has done it to destroy your pride, to bring you low all the earth's nobility. Come, people of Tarshish, sweep over the land like the flooding Nile, for Tyre is defenseless. The Lord held out his hand over the sea and shook the kingdoms of the earth. He has spoken out against Phoenicia, ordering her fortress to be destroyed. He says, never again will you rejoice, O daughter of Sidon, for you've been crushed. Even if you flee to Cyprus, you'll find no rest. Look at the land of Babylonia. The people of that land are gone. The Assyrians have handed Babylon over to the wild animals of the desert. They built siege ramps against its walls, torn down its palaces, and turned it into a heap of rubble. Will you, ships of Tarshish, for your harbor is destroyed. For 70 years, the length of a king's life, Tyre will be forgotten. But then the city will come back to life and the song about a prostitute. Take a harp and walk the streets, you forgotten harlot. Make sweet melody and sing your songs till you'll be remembered again. Yes, after 70 years, the Lord will revive Tyre. But she will be no different than she was before. She'll be again a prostitute to all the kingdoms around the world. But in the end, her profits will be given to the Lord. Her wealth will not be hoarded, but will provide good food and fine clothing for the Lord's priests. Chapter 24, Destruction of the Earth. Intense. Look, the Lord is about to destroy the earth and make it a vast wasteland. He devastates the surface of the earth and scatters the people. Priests and lay people, servants and masters, maids and mistresses, buyers and sellers, lenders and borrowers, bankers and debtors, none will be spared. The earth will be completely emptied and looted, the Lord has spoken. The earth mourns and dries up, and the land wastes away and withers. Even the greatest people on the earth waste away. The earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they've twisted God's instructions, violated his laws, and broke his everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must pay the price for their sin. They are destroyed by fire, and only a few are left alive. The grapevines waste away, and there's no new wine. All the merrymakers sigh and mourn. The cheerful sound of tambourines is stilled. The happy cries of celebration are heard no more. The melodies, chords of the harp are silent. Gone are the joyous of wine and song. Alcoholic drinks turn bitter in the mouth. The city writhes in chaos. Every home is locked to keep out intruders. Mobs gather in the streets, crying out for wine. Joy has turned to gloom, and gladness has been banished from the land. The city is left in ruins, its gates battered down. Throughout the earth, the story is the same. Only a remnant is left, like the stray olives left on the tree or the few grapes left on the vine after harvest. But all who are left shout and sing for joy. Those in the west praise the Lord's majesty, and eastern lands give glory to the Lord. And the lands beyond the sea praise the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. We hear songs of praise from the ends of the earth, songs that give glory to the righteous one. But my heart is heavy with grief. Weep for me, for I wither away. Deceit still prevails, and treachery is everywhere. Terror and trap snares will be your lot, you people of the earth. Those who flee in terror will fall into a trap, and those who escape the trap will be caught in a snare. Destruction falls like rain from the heavens. The foundations of the earth shake. The earth has broken up. It utterly collapsed. It is violently shaken. The earth staggers like a drunk. It trembles like a tent in a storm. It falls and will not rise again, for the guilt of its rebellion is very heavy. In that day, the Lord will punish the gods in the heavens and the proud rulers of the nations on earth. They will be rounded up and put in prison. They'll be shut up in prison and will be finally punished. Then the glory of the moon will wane, and the brightness of the sun will fade. For the Lord of heaven's armies will rule on Mount Zion. He'll rule in great glory in Jerusalem, in the sight of all the leaders of his people. Chapter 25, Praise for Judgment and Salvation. O Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are God, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you've accomplished them. You turn mighty cedars into heaps of ruins. Cities with strong walls are turned to rubble. Beautiful palaces in distant lands disappear and will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong nations will declare you glory. Ruthless nations will fear you. But you're a tower of refuge to the poor, O Lord, a tower of refuge to the needy in distress. You're a refuge from the storm and a shelter from the heat. For the oppressive act of ruthless people are like storm beating against a wall or the relentless heat of the desert. But you silence the roar of the foreign nations. As the shade of a cloud cools relentless heat, so the boastful songs of ruthless people are stilled. In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. There'll be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all the tears. He'll remove forever all the insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. In that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings. For the Lord's hand of blessing will rest on Jerusalem, but Moab will be crushed. It'll be like straw trampled down and left to rot. God will push down Moab's people as a swimmer pushes down water with his hands. He'll end their pride and their evil works. The high walls of Moab will be demolished. They'll be brought down to the ground, down into the dust." Chapter 26, Song of Praises to the Lord. In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing the song. Our city is strong. We're surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. He humbles the proud and brings down the arrogant city. He brings it. Okay, I'm live, baby. I'll be out in a minute. Sorry, we have food that just got here. He brings it down to the dust. The poor and oppressed trample it underfoot, and the needy walk all over it. But those who are righteous, the way is not that steep and rough. You are God who does what is right. that you smooth out the path ahead of them. Lord, we show you our trust in by obeying your laws. Our heart's desire is to glorify your name. In the night, I search for you. In the morning, I earnestly seek you. For when people come to judge the earth, you'll learn what is right. Your kindness to the wicked does not make them do good. Although others do right, the wicked keep doing wrong and takes no notice of the Lord's majesty. O Lord, they pay no attention to your upraised fist. Show them your eagerness to defend your people. Then they will be ashamed. Let your fire consume your enemies. Lord, you will grant us peace. Excuse me. All we have accomplished is really from you. O Lord, our God, others have ruled us, but you alone are the one we worship. Those we serve before are dead and gone. Their departed spirits will never return. You attacked them and destroyed them, and they're long forgotten. O Lord, you've made our nation great. Yes, you've made us great. You've extended our borders, and we give you glory. Lord, in distress, we search for you. We prayed beneath the burden of your discipline, just as a pregnant woman withers and cries out in pain as she gives birth. So we are in your presence, Lord. We too, writhe in agony. Nothing comes of our suffering. We have not given salvation to the earth, nor brought life into the world. But those who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in earth will rise up and sing for joy. For your life-giving light will fall like dew, and your people in the place of the dead. On your people in the place of the dead. Go home, my people, and lock your doors. Hide yourselves for a little while until the Lord's anger has passed. Look, the Lord is coming from heaven to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will no longer hide those who have been killed. They will all be brought out for all to see. Chapter 27. In that day, the Lord will take his terrible swift sword and punish Leviathan, the swiftly moving serpent, the coiling, writhing serpent. He will kill the dragon of the sea. Excuse me. In that day, think about the fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, will watch over it, watering it carefully. Day and night, I will watch so no one can harm it. My anger will be gone, and if I find briars or thorns growing, I'll attack them. I will burn them up unless they turn to me for help. Let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. The time is coming when Jacob's descendants will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and will fill the whole earth with fruit. Has the Lord struck Israel as he struck her enemies? Has he punished her arm as he punished them? No, but he exiled Israel to call her to account. She was exiled from the land as though blown away in the storm from the east. The Lord did this to purge Israel's wickedness, to take away all her sin. As a result, all the pagan altars will be crushed to dust. No Asherah pole or pagan shrine will be left standing. The fortified towns will be silent and empty, and the houses abandoned, the streets overgrown with weeds. Calves will graze there, chewing on twigs and branches. The people are like dead branches of a tree, broken off and used for kindling beneath the cooking pots. Israel is foolish and a stupid nation, for its people have turned away from God. Therefore, the one who made them will show them no pity or mercy. Yet the time will come when the Lord will gather them together like handpicked grain. One by one, he'll gather them from the Euphrates River in the east of the brook of Egypt in the west. In that day, the great trumpet will sound, and many who are dying in exile of Assyria and Egypt will return to Jerusalem to worship the Lord on this holy mountain. Chapter 28. What sorrow awaits the proud city of Samaria, the glorious crown of the drunks of Israel? It sits at the head of a fertile valley, but its glorious beauty will fade like a flower. It is the pride of a people brought down by wine. For the Lord will send a mighty army against it, like a mighty hailstorm and torrential rain. They'll burst up upon like a surging flood and smash it to the ground. The proud city of Samaria, the glorious crown of the drunks of Israel, will be trampled beneath its enemies' feet. It sits at the head of a fertile valley, but its glorious beauty will fade like a flower. Whoever sees it will snatch it up as an early fig. It will quickly be picked and eaten. Then at last, the Lord of heaven's armies himself will be Israel's glorious crown. He'll be the pride and joy of the remnant of his people. He'll give a longing for justice to their judges, and he'll be a great courage to the warriors who stand at the gates. Now, however, Israel is led by drunks, who reel with wine and stagger with alcohol. The priests and prophets stagger with alcohol and lose themselves in wine. They reel when they see visions and stagger when they render decisions. Their tables are covered with vomit. Filth is everywhere. Who does the Lord think they are? We are, they ask. Why does he speak to us like this? Are we little children just recently weaned? He tells us everything over and over, one line at a time, a little here and a little there. So now God will speak to his people through foreign oppressors who speak a strange language. God has told his people, here is a place of rest. Let the weary rest here. This is a place of quiet rest. But they would not listen. So the Lord will spell out this message for them again, one line at a time, a little here and a little there. So they'll stumble and fall. They'll be injured, trapped, and captured. Therefore, listen to this message from the Lord, you scoffing rulers in Jerusalem. You boast, we've struck a bargain to cheat death, and we've made a deal to dodge the grave. The coming destruction can never touch us, for we built a strong refuge made of lies and deception. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Look, I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It's a precious cornerstone that's safe to build on. Whoever builds need never be shaken. I will test you with the measuring line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness. Since your refuge is made of lies, a hailstorm will knock it down. Since it's made of deception, a flood will sweep it away. I will cancel the bargain you made to cheat death, and I'll overturn your deal to dodge the grave. When the terrible enemy sweeps through, you'll be trampled into the ground. Again and again, the flood will come morning after morning, day and night, until you're carried away. This message will bring terror to your people. The bed you've made is too short to lie on. The blankets are too narrow to cover you. The Lord will come as he did against the Philistines at Mount Perazim and against the Amorites at Gibeon. He'll come to do a strange thing. He'll come to do an unusual deed. For the Lord of heaven's armies, has plainly said that he's determined to crush the whole land. So scoff no more, or your punishment will be even greater. Listen to me. Listen and pay close attention. Does a farmer always plow and never sow? Is he forever cultivating the soil and never planting? Does he not finally plant his seeds? Black cumin, wheat, barley, and emmer wheat, each in its proper way, with each in its proper place. The farmer knows just what to do, for God has given him understanding. A heavy sledge is never used to thresh black cumin. Rather, it's beaten with a light stick. A threshing wheel is never rolled on cumin. Instead, it's beaten lightly with a flail. Grain for bread is easily crushed, so it doesn't keep on pounding it. He threshes it under the wheels of a cart, but he doesn't pulverize it. The Lord of heaven's armies is a wonderful teacher, and he gives the farmer great wisdom. All right. Not bad. 30 minutes today. Praise the Lord. Again, I appreciate every single one of you for joining and being a part. I don't take it lightly that so many of you are here. You're engaging in the chat. You're following along, and your life's being changed as my life has been changed reading the word. I love you guys a lot. I'm not going to hang out and talk today because I have food waiting for me. So I'm going to go eat with the family, but I love you all a lot. I'll see you guys tomorrow at 2:00. Actually, tomorrow's Jared. See you guys Tuesday at 2:00. Jared will be tomorrow. I'll have a sermon airing tomorrow night because I'm going to be gone tomorrow night. I have a prior commitment. And then Tuesday night, we'll finish our book of Hebrews. I love you guys and appreciate you guys. I'll see you tomorrow live. God bless. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.